Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to the Christian Contrast, where we talk about how walking with Jesus leads us to live differently than those in the world around us. I'm excited here. Got Jeff Taylor, our student ministries pastor, here with me for this time. Jeff, thanks so much for being part of this.
Super glad to be part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And we have been, over the past several months, we have been talking about these forming faith at home habits. These habits, every time we talk about them, we say that this isn't a checklist. This isn't sort of, you know, you do these five things and your kids will walk with Jesus forever. But these are data-driven information that we have about these are the sorts of things that help kids who grow up in the church and grow up in Christian homes stick with Jesus. And so we're on the fifth one now. We're talking about the idea of kids having spiritual mentors or spiritual influences out of the home, outside of the home. And you, from the beginning, I was like, I got to have Jeff for this one. First of all, because like the rest of us, you're a parent, you're looking to live these things out with your kids. But also because you are a student ministries pastor. And so a lot of what you do is really in this world of helping students be connected to other adults. So before we get into that, like, I want us to be able to talk about this as parents and you to give us some insider stuff in Exit 83 student ministry. But first, let's just talk about the idea that this is one of the five habits that this data showed is really important. As you think about it, why do you think that is, that this is such a difference maker?
I mean, we can all think back to our lives and the people who have spoken into our lives. And certainly a lot of input and a lot of lessons and teaching and guidance comes from parents and comes from the home and just in the natural course of life. But as I think through my life and the influences that I have, significant influences came from friends of my parents, and are parents of my friends, or pastors, or youth group leaders, or people that are just in my daily course of life growing up that influenced either my attitude or influenced how I watched them treat people or how I watched them take a stand for things, whatever it is. And so to have those people in our lives where it's not just all on the parents. It's like, you better teach your kid every lesson. Right. You better guide them in every situation. You're the only one that they can come to, which one is not only very limiting, it's also incredible pressure on parents of going, I've got to get this right all the time. I have to have the answer to everything. And so when I think back on my life and the influences that I've had, youth pastors in my life and the others that I mentioned, I'm so thankful that for those situations and for those people that I had speaking into my life.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And one thing, there's a funny element to this, I think sometimes to as parents, where you can feel like the whole thing that Jesus said about the prophet having no honor in his own country. And you have sometimes something as a parent that you've told your kid over and over again, and then they come home from, you know, summer camp, or they come home for sometime from youth group, and they're like, well, you know, me, sometimes it literally will be like, Jeff said this, and it just really, you know, and I'm like, well, I said that too, you know? And it's something that we can be like, all right, we can roll our eyes at. But I think one of the elements, when I was thinking back, especially to my time in high school, there probably were a lot of those things that my parents had said, but it took my youth pastor or a youth leader or somebody like that. And part of it was because there's an element when you're a kid interacting with your parents where you know part of their job is kind of to control you. Like, not 100%, but appropriately so. We as parents are trying to sort of help our kids go on a certain path and, God willing, not in a manipulative way, but we're more invested in that, where an adult outside of that may care, but is less driven by saying, I need to make sure you behave in a certain way. And that makes us more open to say, this person's saying this, and their life is not going to be dramatically affected if I misbehave.
Yeah, and I experienced this as a parent with my kids growing up, and I also experienced this as a youth pastor, where when you look at the people closest to you, right or wrong, there is a tendency in all of us, but in particularly, you know, younger people, to wonder, like, what's your agenda? So a kid looks at what their parents are saying and like, oh, well, you're trying to get me to, or whatever it is, where there's maybe more of a different kind of trust with people that aren't their parents. And so as a youth pastor, I'm a genius with other people's kids. That's right. I mean, I have parents come to me and go, "Thank you for what you said to my kid," and I know. And sometimes they tell me, it's like, it's exactly what they said, but it's coming from a different place. And there is that opportunity. I also experience it as a youth pastor when I go to camps and I take my youth group to camp and the speaker up front will be like, "You need to know that God has a plan for your life." And afterward, we're talking with students and a student will say, I've just never had someone tell me that God has a plan for me. And I'm like, I've been telling you that since
you
were in seventh grade.
You have heard that.
You
from
have
someone.
Heard that. But, and I can even say that it's changed in me as a youth pastor. Early on, when I was a younger youth pastor, I'd get really bothered by that. Mm. I'd be like, no, I've told them that I'm teaching them the right things. A lot of the same way a parent could feel like,
absolutely,
man, I've taught you that. And now I am much more with my own kids and with my youth group. Man, whatever voice it takes. And my pride is not on the line here. It is, God, you speak to them however you need to speak to them. And if it's the same thing that I've been saying, but somebody else gets through to them, praise God.
That's right, which is a great attitude. And one that, I don't think as we're talking about this, any parents are going to say, no, I don't want my kids to have other spiritual influences. But maybe it's a little bit of a good primer to say, as we're entering into this, we want to cast off all defensiveness and say, what we want is our kids to love Jesus. And that doesn't have to be that we're the one with the breakthrough statement. In a little bit, I want to talk about some of the specific ways that we're looking to do this in Exit 83. But first, I just want to ask you, as a dad, you know, as a dad with three kids, you know, one just getting ready, like in a day, mm-hmm, to graduate college, you got and then a high schooler, and then another college student. So as you're reflecting back, what are some of the ways that you and Laura looked to do this and looked to facilitate your kids having other adults who are spiritual influences outside of your family?
Yeah, and some of this was intentional, and some of it was just our environment that we were in, but it was always about being in community.
Yeah.
And so whether it was house churches, life group, youth groups, whatever it is, our family being in community, our family surrounding our family with other people who would not only speak into my wife and I and our life, but also influence our kids. And so I think of the Couchers and the Fredericks and all these families where they were just always around. They were always there modeling godly behaviors and influences. And even I remember in times, simple things of parenting when my kids were little and Laura and I would be struggling like this. And, you know, Miss Kim would come over and be like, "I got her," like this, and pick Emma up and walk her around and calm her down when Laura and I were not in any condition to calm her down. Right. And so everything from that into my brothers taking my kids out for lunch and talking about life and being like, I know how it feels to be the youngest. I'm the oldest kid in my family. And my youngest brother, Drew, knows what it's like to be the youngest. And so his influence on Nathan, the opportunities, keeping them connected in community with youth group. And man, having the influence of their small group leaders on their life. And again, sometimes they're just restating things I've already said, but man, when it's coming from Tim, or when it's coming from Jeremy, or it's coming from Jen, there is a receptivity to it that is absolutely anointed, and God is going to use it. And so that intentionality of staying in community, and when we aren't in community, then it is up to you.
Sure.
If you are the only voice in your kid's life, you're the only voice in your kid's life. And I guess I would just want to say out loud to the camera, it's not completely up to you. You don't have to do it all on your own. And for us to be in community, what has always been and continues to be so life-giving to my family.
Yeah, and I agree. When I was thinking about this question, that was the first thing that also came to my mind, is just said, we're involved in the church, and we have people in our lives. And so even I know sometimes when this habit has come up, the word mentorship comes up, which I'm not against mentorship, but kind of avoiding that as we talk about this, because that can put parents in a position of almost like, well, I need to identify a specific person who's going to be a one-for-one mentor in my kid's life. And if I got four kids, I need one for each kid. And to say that might be something that emerges and that God calls you to. But probably for a lot of us, especially if we're involved in the church, the people who could do this are already a part of the circle. That they're the people that we're in life group with, that they're the kids, life group leader or life kids leaders or Exit 83 leaders. They're the families that you're connected to when you get together as families, not just that the couples get together, but the kids are over. And so the kids know the parents. I mean, we've experienced this a lot. And one of the things that we did, and it was a cool thing that we did it because it ended up emerging very authentically instead of feeling forced, is that with my kids, with both Matt and Jack, David's not 13 yet, but for their 13th birthday, we had either an in-person or people make videos that were specific ways, and it was all adults. It wasn't their peers. We had a separate party where their peers were all a part of it, but specific adults, so a lot of it was their friends' parents or me and Karina's friends that they just know and have been around, different Exit 83 leaders, different Life Kids leaders, just other adults, extended family members, talking about their prayers for them, talking about things that they see in them and they can affirm in them. And to me, one of the exciting things is that going into that, it didn't feel like this giant jump from, oh, this person now is randomly somebody that my dad wants me to hear from. It was all people that they were like, yeah, we talk to them and we interact with them. And I know that they care about me and they ask me questions about my life. And when I see them, they care about what's going on in my life. So I think just being involved in the church community and then beyond showing up on Sundays, having people that are really in your life sets you up where maybe you're not looking for like who is the one-for-one mentor. You're just looking for people to be around, and it's going to be a different person for different things that come up.
And as those things come up, as parents, to be eager to set our kids up for receiving that input, because they may not think on their own, oh, I'm going to go talk to so-and-so about this. But for a parent to go, you know what? I think you had to go talk to your detour group leader.
Yeah.
Hey, I think you would. Or even I have absolutely called up my brothers and said, hey, would you take Carter out to lunch? And he's walking through this right now. And I think you'd be great to speak into his life and set it up. And like you said, when those relationships are already happening, it's not weird for Carter to go out to lunch with Uncle B.
Yeah.
It's not weird for Nate to go throw axes with Jeremy and talk. And so these are great opportunities that we as parents can direct them toward and just be like, man, God's going to move through this.
Yeah. Well, in all of this, I remember the first time that we as a pastoral team sort of got exposed to these habits and we're talking about them. When we talked about this one, to me, I thought, well, we're doing this in different ways at our church, but Exit 83 was the best example of just setting up, at least to me, setting up young people to be connected to other adults in their lives. Obviously, with youth group, you get kids connected to kids and sure, their peers, but the fact that we have these detour groups, the fact that we have adults interacting with kids and caring about them, I'd love for you just to talk about it at our student ministry. What have been some ways that you've tried to cultivate an environment where this can happen?
Yeah. Again, this is an aspect where I've seen my mindset change. When I was 26-year-old youth pastor, really wanted my voice to be a real guiding voice. And I felt really good about a line of students waiting to talk to me after youth group. And as I've gotten older, I believe that God has made me wiser and experienced and things, really see the value in many voices guiding our students. And so we set up our detour groups, our small groups. They're grade and gender based. And so it's like seventh grade guys, ninth grade girls. You know? And in each detour group, we try and have two adult leaders. And we even try and make the two leaders of different generations, so that there is a spectrum of insight and input and experience and personality and things like that. And we want these detour groups to not just be, hey, we're going to sit down and we're going to just answer questions about the Bible. But these are people that through the week are texting their students, hey, you shared this on Wednesday, wanted to follow up, or that students can contact and say, hey, I'm going through this, or hey, can we get together and have lunch or whatever. And so these are opportunities that as they go through from 7th grade to 12th grade, every detour group, the leaders don't follow the students. They don't move up, because then you would have the same leaders for
these
6 years.
These two leaders the whole time.
Yeah, like it or not. These are,
it could be great, could be bad.
Exactly. But we have really intentionally made the decision that these leaders are going to stay with this grade. And the coming grade, the incoming grade, will get new leaders. And then the people who move on, they're going to move into a new group with two more leaders. And by the time they've graduated from high school, they've had so many voices in their life, leading them to Jesus, giving them perspective, having different personalities, having different life experiences. And it's been so life-giving. It's just to have that kind of input from so many people. And so it's one of those things where that's built into our youth ministry. You don't have to go searching for the perfect mentor. Just by being involved, by being in Life Kids, going through Sunday school and the different teachers and leaders, you have so many opportunities to impact kids in so many different ways.
Yeah. And I think it's great. And I think, you know, certainly with Life Kids also, but in particular, getting into the junior high and the high school age, I think there's more of, first of all, an interest in kids are dealing with more things that they might say, I'm trying to figure, you know, certain temptations are starting to emerge, certain identity issues are starting to emerge. So there's more of just, I think, a felt need and a real compelling place for that to happen. But I just want to say on the receiving end of it, because having my kids, you know, Matt now graduated from high school and Jack in high school, and then David about to join the youth group. During the Advent season, we were at home. We were going through our Advent devotional that we'd put through one night at dinner. And one of the questions for our discussion was, who is somebody in your life who you really feel like has loved you well? And I was curious to see, like, what are the kids going to say? And David, my youngest, said one of his key Life Kids leaders, who's also a close family friend, and both Jack and Matt named Exit 83 staff members. And we had not said who from our church. Like we had not said anything. So, you know, they could have named us. They didn't name us. Maybe they thought I should name somebody other than parents, you know, but a prophet is without honor. they didn't name grandparents, even though they've got great grandparents. But to me, I was so excited to hear that when they thought about that, they were thinking of detour group leaders and student ministry leaders who they really feel like, this is somebody that I can trust. This is somebody who cares about me. And I think that there is something to that, like they care about me and they don't have to. I was like, Mom and Dad, you care about me, but you have to care about me. This is a person that cares about me and that they don't have to do that. They're choosing to be involved in my life. So I just know there's tons of students involved. And I agree, especially when we're getting into the junior high and high school range, for any parents that have kids in that range, you don't have to go and like, who am I going to find to mentor? Man, get them involved in the youth group, and you've got it right there happening. And if the first detour group leader that they connect with is great, but not somebody that there's a special connection with, who knows what's going to happen next year? Because the likelihood that they're going to go through there and not have a deep connection. I mean, just on the team, you have the range, you have some of the, you know, 20, you know, 2-year-olds who are in there, and then you have grandparents who are part of the Exit 83 staff also. And so there's a range of different people involved.
Yeah, it is amazing. And we see God move that way, where somebody who, if everybody was like me, it would not be a good thing. I am too much for a lot of people. My personality is a lot. For other people, I'm great. I'm who they identify with. But for others, man, they need somebody in their 60s who's going to be softer and gentler and not as dramatic. They need the young, energetic, come on, man, let's go play, you know, kind of personalities.
Well, and the person, even within that, the person who's close enough in age to them that they can imagine themselves, you know, like a 16-year-old can say, it's hard to say, what am I going to be like at 60? But to say, I can think about what I'm going to be like at 20 in 4 years, and this person is living the way that I want to be living 4 years from now.
Absolutely. And I hear on a regular basis of students who had a tough week. And the way it ends up coming out is that, and I couldn't wait till Wednesday to talk to Gwen. Yeah. I couldn't wait till Wednesday to talk to Hannah. And so I even tell my team that your commitment and your consistency at youth group on Wednesdays is really important, because it is likely that somebody is waiting for Wednesday.
That's right.
And we see that, and we see that happen. And there's so many opportunities that we get. And again, when I was younger, I would hear that somebody went through something and I didn't know about it. And I'd be like, oh, I wonder why they didn't tell me. Now, when I'm the last one to find something out, but I know that Ryan and Tim and Tyler and Hannah and Jen know about it, I'm so excited. I'm just like, absolutely. I don't need to know. God just works through all of that.
Yeah. No, I love that. And so for this last question, a lot of this is stuff that we've already probably talked about, but just in a more pointed way. For parents that are listening to this and they're thinking, I want to do this, that I buy in, I see the importance, I want to take a next step in helping to facilitate my kids having good, healthy, life-giving spiritual influences outside of the family, what would be some things you'd encourage them to do?
There's a couple things. One, I would say first, you've got to let go of the idea that you have to teach them everything. You don't. There's a reason that God calls us into community. There's a reason that he calls us the church body, and that every member of the body has an important function. But sometimes that gets hindered if a parent is in the mindset of like, no, it's my responsibility to teach them everything. Certainly we're called to parent them and we're called to teach them. But let go of the idea that you have to do it all. The second thing I would say is look at the community around you. Maybe it's easily identifiable. Maybe you've got a teenager and they're in, you know, 7th to 12th grade, and you're like, man, I've got Exit 83 as a resource. Maybe you're a family and you've got younger kids, but look around at your life group and the people in your life group. Look around at extended family members and look for opportunities that you can point your kids or even just expose your kids to those people who are going to lead them to Jesus, and let that happen and encourage that. And sometimes you might have to force it. And I say that in the sense of like youth group. There's all kinds of things to keep somebody busy. They're a teenager busy. Well, like, oh, well, I have to do this, or I'm going to go hang out here, I'm going to do this. And there is value, and I would say an importance, in going, this is going to be a community you're going to be part of. Yeah. It doesn't always mean it's easy. It doesn't always mean it's everything they want it to be, but it is worth it. And I would say important to go, you know what, you need to do this, because whether you see it right now or not, there is important influence that's going to take place here.
Yeah, and I agree. But just to one up what you were saying about that last part, junior high and high school both, but thinking of kids entering in at junior high to the youth ministry, man, it's a tricky time. There's a lot of fears. There's a lot of insecurity. And so I just know, thankfully, like my kids have loved youth group from the beginning. I didn't presume that was going to be true. You know, sometimes there's a battle getting into it, but we've been really thankful that that's been true. But I know of parents that have said, well, like, we tried that. Mm-hmm. And for me, I would just want to make an appeal to any parents who are saying, well, we tried that, to say that this is really worth persevering in. This is really worth, you know, like, this is worth pushing through and saying, hey, we're going to do that. A lot of times when you're trying something new, you don't quite know where you fit in. Maybe it is a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe the first week it didn't go exactly how you want. Man, the payoff of being involved in this is so high that it's worth pushing through to the point that highly likely your kid is going to get to a point that they're going to be mad if they ever have to miss. But just the other thing to add to what you were saying, there are probably times with this where maybe there is a life group, maybe you have a, 8-year-old daughter, and maybe there is a life kids leader who's a senior in high school or a college student, that this girl who just, man, your daughter thinks is the greatest thing ever. Maybe you find ways, just like, let's have her over for dinner. Let's set some, let's just get her in the circle more. Maybe it's with a detour group leader that you say, man, my son is really connected with this detour, but let's have him over. Let's have their family over and just cultivate that. And also thinking sometimes your kid might be like, I don't want them over here. I want them all to my, so use discernment with that. But just the idea that we could encourage that. And even something that you mentioned earlier, which I've done with both Matt and Jack, that there have been things that have come up that I've talked to them about. And then sometimes I've said, who do you think? Do you think Ruben would be a good one to talk? Do you think Jeremy would be good to talk to about this? And just to show that, I'm okay. I'm their dad. I want them to be able to come to me with anything, but also recognizing there might be a case where, first of all, it's going to be easier to hear from somebody else. And also, there might be a time where Jeremy Troche is better at this conversation than I am.
Absolutely.
Just at an objective level, not because I'm their dad, but just because he knows what he's doing in this area. And so as you said, being non-defensive, but also being proactive, if your kid is really going through something, saying, well, hey, have you talked to the detour? Have you talked to uncle? Have you talked to this? Do you feel like that would help to have a phone call with this person? Sometimes our kids feel stuck, and if we can nudge them in the right direction with that, and that could be really life-giving for them also to see that we're not threatened by the idea that they might have a meaningful conversation with somebody else.
Yeah. And I love it that our detour group leaders tend to be, because they're dealing with teenagers, the detour group leaders tend to be pretty proactive in the sense of hey, you want to go, grab a Coke after school or whatever, and pursuing that, or texting and starting a conversation that way. But thinking through younger people, so say you have an 8-year-old, a 9-year-old, I know a guy who, like you said, knows some seniors in high school or young college people that their daughter thinks is just it. Mm-hmm. And they will actually be like, hey, would you take my daughter out for ice cream? Here's $10.
Right. We'll pay for
it. They pay for it. Yep. They set it up so that it works well and advocate for that. And then you talked about before, pressing in and giving something a chance. It's amazing how many things we will vouch for as an acquired taste. Oh, it's an acquired taste.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to church or youth group,
right,
one time that you didn't feel like, oh, this is my spot, and we look for something else.
Right.
And so there's a lot of wisdom in that, in pressing in and going, you're going to have to give this a chance.
Yeah.
You're going to have to commit. And showing up once every 5 months and then saying, well, I don't know anybody.
I'm not connected.
Yeah. Of course you're not connected. And that's not because you're not wanted. But so there is an investment in all of this. So there's an investment as parents to lead our kids to these kinds of communities and to these kinds of opportunities and guide them and support them. Like you said, not getting insecure when it seems that someone else just told them the same thing, but that you've been saying, but encouraging that, and also establishing some wise boundaries of this is going to be a priority.
Right.
No, we're not going to do this club team practice on this night because we're going to make youth group a priority. No, we're not going to do this because Sunday we're going to church as a family. That's important as well.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff. And thanks for not just talking about this right now, but thanks for the way that you are looking to be on the front lines of cultivating this habit so that this can happen all throughout our church with our families and with our young people.
Yeah,
it's exciting. And I have a front row seat because of my kids, and I've loved seeing it happen. And I just wanted to say thanks for taking the time to listen to this or to watch this. We always love to interact with people who are engaging with the content we put out for the Christian Contrast podcast. So if you have a comment, if you have a question, if you have an idea that you say, you guys talked about this, but here's something we've tried and you just want to share with the community, we'd love for that to happen. We have all of the episodes of the Christian Contrast up on our website, lbf.church, and also on our YouTube channel for Life Bible Fellowship Church. And we put a new episode out every 2 weeks, and so we'll be back 2 weeks from now with a new episode. So until then, thanks so much for taking the time to listen.